Goedenavond, good evening. My name is Jaco, and it's wonderful to be with you. It's wonderful to be in God's house with His children. Who is excited to be here tonight? Okay, so there's somebody at the back. Amen, amen. Guys, we're not excited because we're many people. We're excited because God is here, amen. And He's going to do awesome things tonight in our lives. We just want to wait for the youth to go out. It's their first evening together in our old hall. So we're excited for them and we pray God's blessing over them. I struggle with these lights. They're quite sharp. Anyway, I just want to warn you tonight. There's going to be like explosions coming from the stage. Not because of me, but because of that little thing. It looks like a bomb. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Looks like a funny thing. Brian, what is that? He sits there behind this thing. He's going to push it and we're all going to dish. Right? I sat there and I thought, oh my gosh. Let's pray the sinner's prayer before we blow up. Now, you guys, thank you for coming out. I just want to just take this opportunity just to thank as well just all our volunteers, the guys that has been serving the whole day. Can we as a church just thank them by just honoring them? They put in so many hours of their time. Thank you guys, especially the logistic guys and the sound guys. They are here from the morning 6 o'clock and they are here the whole afternoon to make it look so wonderful and to make sure everything works so we can have a great experience in God's presence. Thank you for that. We really honor you and we acknowledge that your gifting is from God and we can't build the house without you. Let's just pray before we start. Father, we just want tonight to come with open hearts, Lord, and open hands to receive from you. And we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you said, Lord, that we haven't chosen you, but you have chosen us to bear much fruit, Lord, to glorify your name. And Father, we are so privileged tonight, Lord, to be in your presence. Lord, it's our privilege, Lord. It's our privilege, Lord, and you welcome us into your presence. And tonight, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, Lord. Your word which is alive and powerful, Lord. Your word which cannot return void. And tonight, God, as your word goes forth, God, we ask, may your word come and change us. On a very deep level, God, we ask that your word will come and transform the very beings of our life, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word, God, gives light and it makes us simple, wise. And tonight, God, we thank you, Lord, that your word is going to make us wise. It's going to give us your heart. It's going to show us your heart. And we want to just welcome you, Lord God, in this place. And we want to thank you, Lord. Your kingdom is not a kingdom of eating and drinking, but of joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just come and welcome you. We are a few, but we are more than enough to go and change this world, Lord. And we open our hearts for you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and breathe upon the word of God. You'll come and make it alive to us. I ask that you'll come and reveal Jesus Christ to us. That you'll point us to Him and show us who He is and what He has done so we can follow and become better disciples of Jesus. We bless you, Lord, and we just celebrate you in this place, Lord God. And we declare, Lord, that you are our God and we are your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, tonight I just want to share with you something very simple, but I believe very profound. I want to talk to you about the principle of living a life of honoring each other. This morning as we were singing, God gave me a picture, and it's a funny picture, but I think it's appropriate for us tonight as well. You know, I'm a wannabe pro golfer. I try to play often, you know, and I try to better my scores, but, you know, it's quite tough for us as wannabe pro golfers. But in the winter time, they work on the course a lot. And if you're a good golfer, the one thing you will appreciate from golf courses is that you appreciate very fast greens. Who knows what I'm talking about here? A few of you, okay? If the greens are hard and the greens, they call it, is like glass, you know, the putts, your putting is much truer, it's harder, it's difficult, but that's what you like. We play here, you know, I play in courses which is not so great, you know, it's bumpy and it's terrible to putt. You know, you putt through moles, whoopies and, you know, weird stuff. And your score just gets worse and worse and worse. And but the picture I got was many of our hearts in this church has grown to a place like the greens of good golf courses. Very hard. And that's for God a concern. And you see, in the wintertime, what they do on a golf course, they take a thick roller with long pins like this all over it, and they roll it over the greens, and they make deep dents into the green. And then afterwards, they throw in seeds all over it. They call it holocausting. At this very time of the year, they holocaust all the greens to make it better for next year. And then they go and they roll it again. And the big show, God, is many of our hearts are like those greens. It is grown to a place of insensitivity to God. It's hard. We are indifferent to what the Lord many times want to do in our lives. But God, through tonight, I believe God wants to come and bring his holocaust roller. And he wants to come and put little holes in your heart. And he wants to come and break this hardness of heart. And he wants to put his seed of truth and love into your life tonight to start growing and to start becoming more sensitive to him. Amen. So, tonight I want to talk to you about honor, and you know, as in the West, and, you know, especially for me, you know, it's a concept which is very familiar to many of us. We're very, you know, but yet I still believe it's a very profound and a central thing we need to understand, to understand God and to understand God's ways. God's kingdom is a kingdom of honor. God is an honorable king. Amen. And but the challenge for us as a church in 2013 is that honor is a lost virtue in our communities, in our schools. You know, if you look at our youth today and our kids, it's shocking to see, you know, how dishonor is just rampant. How they treat their parents, how they treat their teachers, how they treat their coaches. You know, I was privileged. I grew up in a in a very good school in Paul. There's only one good school in Paul. Those who are from Paul must say, yeah. They wear blue jackets, by the way. I grew up in a school where the culture was honor, and the culture that they enforce upon us is to respect elderly and to open doors for ladies and to stand back and to tuck in your blazer and to really have a culture of honor to your teachers and to greet them when they greet you, to look them in the eye and say, "Hi, ma'am. Hi, sir. Welcome on our premises. Can we help you?" And in the last few years, before I came into the ministry, you know, I had the privilege of having my own business, and I worked a lot on school grounds. You know, and what I've seen happening on school nowadays, it was a fright to me to see how the people just, you know, the kids, it's horrific how honor has just slipped away. And as the church, we need to come back to this truth because God hasn't changed. Amen. God is still a honorable God. And you see, the reason why I want to talk to you about this is because very recently, I myself was treated very bad by a Christian brother and a Christian friend. And in this, I learned so many things about this, and God came to talk to me about this. And that's why I just want to come and share with you, you know, from my heart, what God showed me to help you guys not fall into the trap of dishonor, but to stay in the place where we live a life of honor. And me and my friend, I had a meeting, and you know, I'm not going to mention names, but it's not anybody from this church. It wasn't Theo, it wasn't anybody's staff, it wasn't anybody in the congregation. It was a different church, just to make that clear. We had a meeting, and I talked to him about certain personal things which, you know, which I wanted to add and to the certain project we are working on, you know, and I shared my concern about it. And as I was talking, my friend just, you know, shunned me off. And changed the subject, and you know, and he made me feel very unimportant, you know, and gave his opinion and all that, and where in the next moment he started talking to me about how wonderful his relationship is with Jesus, and how wonderful God speaks to him, and how amazing his quiet time is, and all that, and through that, you know, he made me feel very invaluable and disregarded, and when I got into my car and I drive home. I realized one thing, that we as Christians are very good at honoring God. But in the same sentence, we have no clue how to treat one another. And through that, we injure each other, and we offend each other, and we hurt each other, and we push people out of church. And if you look at the stats, guys, more people are outside the church than inside the church. Amen? And we must ask why. And I want to take a dart and tell you that, you know, it's many times because people have offended them. Christians, we have offended them. And so God has shown me this, that's not right. That we can't just be spiritual around God and all honoring Him without treating our brothers correctly and honoring each other. And I also think, as I was preparing, that this is a very seasonal word for us to hear and to make part of our lives if we want to go with God to where God wants to take us. If you listen to what Theo said, he was preaching on kindness. If I hear from Fred, his sermons, he's preaching on gentleness. And there's all these things, it's a mixture of the same thing. And now I'm coming and God is telling me I can share on honor. And if you think of kindness is the way we treat people. But why we treat people kind is because we honor them. The motivation behind kindness is honor. So I think God is giving us a good mixture here and wants to deal with certain things in our lives specifically for this season. So let's open our hearts tonight and allow the Holy Spirit to do a real good thing in our hearts. You see, we as followers of Christ, is part of the body of Christ. Amen? We belong to each other. Is it waarin ons behoort aan mekaar? You know, my pinky can't tell my big toe, you say, I don't like you, or I don't belong to you. No. They are part of the same body. They have different functions, but we are the same body. And guys, because we are one body in Christ, God is very concerned about our relationships. He's very concerned about how we treat one another. If my knee is not going to treat my femur correctly, then I can't walk. Amen? You know, my knee needs to work with the body to function properly. And if you look at Scripture, for instance, and I thought of this yesterday. If you look at Scripture, God took a whole book, the book of Corinthians. And through Paul fights with the Corinthians. And the book of Corinthians means the book of corrections. And through the book of Corinthians, God is speaking to the church and saying, listen, you guys, I want you to correct the way you're treating one another. Come on, I want you to operate in a godly way so your lives can be a testimony unto me and the type of God I am. Amen? So guys, God is very concerned about relationships. And I think in the season we're in, God really wants to put His finger on certain areas in your life, how you treat your brother and your sister, or even your husband or your wife in the Lord. So, my faith goal for us tonight is a single thing. It's for us as the church to needs to learn how to see people as God sees them, and then to treat them accordingly. Because if we're going to honor one another, we're going to honor God. Amen? Who can say amen on that? If you forget everything else, remember this one thing. The way we honor each other is the way we honor God. Amen? Say that after me. The way I honor one another is the way I honor God. And I'm going to explain that to you now. And tonight, I want to just answer the following three questions for you to understand better. What is honor? Why do we honor, and why is it important? And how do we honor as Christians? To be practical. How do we honor people? So let's start off tonight by looking at Romans, the 12th chapter, about what is honor. Read me through there. It says, love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another or honoring each other. Guys, the book of Romans is a book written to the church in Rome. Paul was the author. He wrote to the church. They're probably from, they tell us from Corinth on one of his missions. He's encouraging them to love one another with affection, but also to honor one another and to do it with all of their hearts. And the context is here, guys, he's writing to the church. And my focus tonight for us as the body of Christ, I'm speaking to us for now, but also you will see the principle I'm touching on, it will go to all people. You can apply this at your work and your family in December with all your cousins, with your own children, with your own wife, with your boss. You can apply this principle everywhere, but our focus is one another. The thing where I learned this was when a Christian friend offended me by the way she treated me. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. So, as I was reading the scripture, it's funny enough, I got onto this in my Bible reading plan. And a couple of weeks, I'm going to just sidetrack you. A couple of weeks ago, Fred preached, and he mentioned something we all heard, that we are all subject to God's divine program. You guys, some of you remember that? That the whole thing that God is sovereign and we can think and deny, but God has got a certain program for all of our lives. And just a couple of weeks ago, we in the staff We read books of the Bible together, and then we discuss it on Mondays. And you know, what is the theme? And any, you know, the whole anything. He helps us to exegete it and to look at Scripture this way and that way. And I was sick that Monday and Tuesday. I was in bed, and they agreed for the next week to read the book of Galatians. And I was at bed. So before, and Carmen only told me that the evening, the Monday, but that morning. I came to my Bible, to my personal Bible reading plan, and I found out, listen, I'm going to start reading Galatians. So it was so encouraging to me to see that we all are part of God's plan, and His hand is sovereign upon our lives. And it was so fantastic for me to without hearing what they're going to share on Monday, I was already reading. So it was just fantastic to know that. So, as I was reading this, you know, like most of us are familiar with the word honor, I thought I've got this thing under the belt. I thought like, ugh, the scripture I can just pass on, honoring. But to my surprise, and my gross surprise, as I was studying this word, I found out, listen, yeah, I know nothing. Sorry, guys, I know nothing about honoring. God came to renew and transform my mind, and now I've got a whole better picture of what honoring means, and I want to share that with you. The word honor in the Greek is the word time, or we pronounce it time. You can see there on your board. And it means to value or treat as favorable. Amen? This is quite powerful. Other definitions of the word is appreciation, esteem, favorable, respect, and regard. But we're going to focus on the thing that it means to value or to treat as valuable. Okay? And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word there is not on the screen. It means, it's got a meaning of heavy or weighty. It suggests something or someone is important. It's a weighty matter. It's an important matter. It's an important person. So the two correlate quite nicely. But I want to focus on this valuing part. So for us to remember tonight is to value others means to other people means we value them. We value people. And church, for us, it's important to understand that valuing does not mean we are ignorant of their faults, their mistakes, their wrongs, and all their problems and all their issues. That's not honoring. We are still sober about that, but honoring means we make a choice to treat them as favorable and precious despite anything what they've done towards us. Amen? So honoring is not based on, okay, they're not so nice, or they are nice, or they can actually give me something which they will earn the honor in my sight. No, we make a choice to honor people because they're valuable, despite anything in our life. So, my question to us is, isn't that what Christ did for us? Isn't that what God did for us in Christ Jesus? You see, guys, He valued us so much that He laid down all of His rights as the Son of God, and He came down to earth to serve you and me. Amen? He forsake all of His rights as the Son of God. He valued us so much. He said, Father, You love this world so much. I'm going to go down and lay down my life for them. Because I value them so much. I mean, look at Philippians 2 verse 6. Paul is saying here, though He was God, speaking of Jesus, did not demand and cling to His rights as God. Jesus was God, but He didn't cling to it. So, church, the question beckons is, what would you and I do for something or someone which we consider precious or valuable? What would you do for somebody or someone which you deem as valuable? What's the answer to that? Anything. Amen? If we regard Sila as precious, as valuable, then I will do anything for him. Amen? We will spend money, I will spend time, we will spend prayer into his life to make sure that God's will is happening for his life. Or for our children, for that matter. All of us as parents know that. We will do anything for our kids. Isn't that true? You will invest your whole life to make sure that they're on the straight and the narrow, or they grow up, or they're in a good school, and they get education and all that. Because we deem them as valuable. Amen? And church, we as the followers of Christ should do exactly the same. We should treat one another with honor by valuing them as costly and seeing them as precious. Amen? We need to imitate Christ and say, God, I can have all these rights as a believer, but I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to see my brother as valuable because you love him. Amen? And then treat him appropriately. And where this thing got to me very, very personal was, Carmen and I has got this friends in church at a different congregation, but we come along a long time now, and they've made it their sole purpose in life. Them as a couple, make their sole purpose in life, that when you visit them, or when you're in their presence, to make you feel special. They celebrate you. They go boss, man. They do anything so you will feel accepted and loved and appreciated. And when I was still in Malmesbury in the ministry there, we came to visit them here in the Cape. And man, was I surprised. Now, I didn't know this about them. Let's call them Peter. I didn't know this about Peter. But when we came there, you know, they gave us the best food. They served us with coffee. They said they were like a Jack Russell, a nuisance all along. Do you want this? Do you want this? They offered guys us to sleep in their main bedroom. We're like, oh my hat, you know. And when we left, they gave us boxes with gifts in it. It was terrible actually, but also so great. But the worst of it all was the following: the Saturday morning when I awoke, this guy washed my car. I'm like, God, it was terrible. And I tried to learn from him to do the same, but do you know, I just sleep too late. You know, it doesn't happen to me. So guys, you know, it was an awful weekend, but still it was such an amazing weekend. And but I've learned something, guys. If we're going to value each other in the same way, we're going to honor each other. And by honoring each other, we're going to honor God. Amen. And I've learned so much from this friend of mine that I say, God, I've got so much. I lack so much in this area. I'm so selfish. I'm looking out for myself all the time. How do we see people? And if we see them as God sees them, we are going to value them because God values them. Amen? And then we're going to honor them. And then we're going to treat them as valuable and precious. Amen? So next time, church, I want to challenge us all. Next time you meet your table's waiter, your petrol attendant, your security guard at work, how are you going to treat them? I suggest treat them with honor. Value them for who they are. Don't just ignore them and shun them and say, cheers and have a nice day. Let's go the extra mile as Christians. Amen? Let's go the extra mile and showing them that they are actually valuable and treating them that way. Amen? So that's what's honor. Honor is to value others. Don't forget that. To value other people. To value, to sien as waardig, to make them, to make them feel important. Honor them that way. Second question is, why do we honor? Read with me 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. Obviously the context there, Peter writes, the king was Nero. And he says, fear God, God is God. But he says there, honor all people. Guys, the first reason we are called to honor God is because God commands it in Scripture. Just honor all people. And the reason we are commanded to honor all people is because, and this we must understand, we must understand and know this as a church, that every human being is made in the image of God. Every one of us sitting here tonight is His handiwork. He has created you. He's placed His likeness inside of you. He says in Ephesians, God, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We must understand the reason we are commanded to honor is because every one of us is made in the image of God. Every Muslim out there, every Hindu out there, everybody we don't agree with is made in the image of God. Amen? Can we agree with that? So that is why our honor is different from the world church. The world's honor is based on how they can earn it. Or do you deserve it? Then they will honor you and praise you and give you gifts and rewards and all these big stuff and big names and big checks and, you know, all these things they wave and do that with. But we as Christians, we are called to give our, to honor people freely as worship unto God. Because we are honorable citizens of a king. Amen? We honor people because we are honorable. We honor people because honor is the condition of our hearts, because we belong to the honorable King Jesus. Amen? Honorable King, honorable behavior is supposed to come naturally for every follower of Christ, because it's in our hearts. Not something that this lives in our mouths.
And God had this accusation against Israel. He says, listen, yeah, these guys only honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far removed from me. That's why God is saying to us, honor is a condition of our hearts. And tonight God wants to come with that holocaust and He wants to open our hearts so we can ask Him, God, place honor in my heart again, please. So that I can honor. Amen. God doesn't want our lip service. He wants our hearts. Amen. So for example, church, if we look at a homeless person or a little baby like my daughter, the question beckons, do I have a reason to honor him which begs and sleeps on the street? Do I have a reason to honor them? Can they give me anything to deserve the honor in my life? No, they can't. But that's exactly my point. We can honor them because they are still made in the image of God. It's just the way we see them that must change. Amen? It's not dependent on what they can contribute to my life. It's all dependent on how I see them as valuable because they're made in the image of God. Amen? So let's renew our minds about this. So we are commanded because everybody is made in the image of God. Second reason why we honor people is because God loves people. Who can agree with me? God loves people. Romans 5:8 says the following, but God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Church, people are precious to God. Amen? That's why He sent Jesus to die for us, to free us from our sins. He did it even for those people you don't like. He did it even for those people you don't want to honor. Those people you don't like, you don't are fond of, He died for them too. Amen? And you see, we too, like the beggar or the baby, we didn't deserve God's favor. We didn't deserve God's goodness. But it's because of God's mercy that He treated us valuable. And He sent His Son to die for us. It's all because of God's mercy. God demonstrating His love towards us. And that is why true honor, guys, is only found in love. True honor is only found in love because we did nothing for God. We didn't choose God. God chose us. God chose you and me. We didn't choose Him. It is in His goodness that He draw us back to Him. Amen? And this evening, I was just thinking of Isaac and Rebecca. Rebecca wasn't looking for Isaac, weren't she? That's such a picture of us and God. We as the church, or like the Rebeccas in this world, we are busy with everyday's work and like Ecclesiastes say, you know, we do our job and it's good unto God. But God is the one. God is the Isaac that comes with a plan. God is the one that seeks out the wife He wants to marry. Amen? Isn't that amazing? God is looking for you. God is pursuing you into this love relationship with Him. And we just need to open our eyes and say, God, yes, yes, yes. I'm yours. I'm yours. True honor is only found in love. And as for me, it's interesting to note in that Romans 12 scripture, guys, that God puts love and honor right next to each other. Love one another with genuine affection and honor each other. It's so close, yet so amazing. It is only if we value and love people, what did I say? As a gift from God, that we will receive them. And by doing that, we will honor God. We need to know that every person that comes into our life is a gift from God. And God sends them for you to have reward from Him. Amen? And guys, and we must understand this, that receiving people is an eccentric part of honoring. Because what we value, we will receive. Amen? If you value somebody or something, you will receive from them. And that's why receiving is honoring. Amen? If, for instance, I said this morning when I said again, like in a marriage, you know, if you value your wife, you will receive from her. Isn't that true? If she's precious to you, if you cherish her, you will receive what she gives to you. I said this morning, or I'm going to say it again, even if it's burnt toast, guys. Because you value, that doesn't make sock, but it does make sock, eh? Do it again. No. We're going to honor her because we value her. And we're going to receive from her because we value them. You see, that's such an important principle in church. Because we are a body and we close to each other, we are going to get offended and we are going to not agree. But that's why God says, be quick to forgive. Make allowances for one another's mistakes. And keep this valuing part fresh in our hearts. Don't allow anything to come into that place where we're not
where we can't honor each other anymore. And I think the Galatian church, I said here, is an excellent example of this part where receiving is part of honoring. Read with me Galatians 4. Paul writes to the Galatians, he says, "Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news of Christ. But even though my sickness was revolting, you did not reject me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I was an angel from God or even Jesus Christ himself." Isn't that powerful? He says there, verses 14, he says, "No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself." You see, church, these believers received Paul because they valued him. They didn't allow his sickness to stop them from receiving him. They received him by honoring him. And I think this is an essential issue for us as the body of Christ. You see, because the moment that friend of mine offended me and talking about his spiritual stuff, my heart is closed. And I stop receiving from him. But that's what they got right, which God is challenging us tonight to do. To not close our hearts because we value. To be able to look past the sickness. To be able to look past whatever they did to you. And still see them as precious. Still value them as precious. And say, "God, they are made in your image. I'm gonna trust you in this. That you will vindicate me. But I'm going to not write them off." Amen? You see, guys, because these Galatian Christians understood that when you receive the person as a gift, you receive Jesus as the giver. And there's a principle in Scripture, and I teach about this also about the Holy Spirit. When you receive the gift, you also receive the giver. But when you reject the gift there, you also reject the gifts. And many times we're very, very sharp in church to cut off the gift, which is the person. And thereby God saying, "Okay, but now I'm also gone." And God wants us like they said here, "And they receive me even though I'm an angel from God, even as Christ Jesus himself." There's a reward in it when we honor each other. Amen? There's a massive reward in it. There's so many examples in it in Scripture. If you look at the Roman centurion, he got such a reward because he just honored Christ for who he is. He said, "God, do you want to heal my son?" God says, "Yes." He says, "Lord, just speak your word because I'm a man under the authority. When I say go, they go." So Jesus just spoke the word, and when he came home, his boy was healed. Amen? But there were other places where people didn't honor him. Like, for instance, when Jesus came into Nazareth, what happened there? They said, "Oh no, this little boy, he's Joseph's father. He worked with us. He's a carpenter for 30 years. We know him. Who's he? He's an ordinary guy, remember?" And he could do no miracles. He said only he could heal a few of them because of their unbelief. But in principle, they dishonored him. They saw him as an ordinary guy. They didn't value him as the Son of the living God in their midst, as the Messiah they were all looking for. Amen? God says there's a reward for us when we honor each other. Because God sends people as gifts into our lives. And that gift, to be unlocked, we need to receive. And when we receive, we honor them. And by honoring each other, we honor God. Amen? That is so important tonight. So we see, this is why we need to honor each other. Because we're made in the image of God. And the love of God motivates us. It compels us. How can we not honor with the love of God in our hearts? We can. Amen? Because God does it for us. Then the last question is, how do we honor? Practically, we looked at now, what is honor? Why do we honor? And now we're going to look quickly at how do we honor. And I just want to say up front, guys, there's hundreds of methods of how. I'm just going to highlight a few I got in my preparation. The first one is Philippians 2:4. Look at what Paul is saying. "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." The first way we can honor each other is by putting other people first. By putting other people first. Guys, and I found out in my life that one of the best ways to put other people first and to value them is to serve them. To serving them, you put them first. And guys, isn't that exactly what Christ came and do for us? We said earlier, he valued us and therefore he laid down all his rights as the Son of God. But he went even further than that. He said, "I'm not going to even leave heaven for earth. I'm going to live on earth and even serve them. We're going to put them first in everyday life." That is mind-boggling from the Son of God. Amen? Look at Mark 10. It says the following. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But many," Philippians 2 says, "but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Guys, these scriptures are offending us because of our selfishness. We don't like it when we are like nothing. Isn't that true? We want to be something. We want to boast in that. But what Christ did, He boasted in becoming nothing. Amen. That is amazing. And if you think about the Last Supper, and I was just reading it last week, yes, you know, this thing of servanthood, it blows the minds of the disciples, and it's still blowing my mind. Here he comes, Jesus takes the towel, he takes the robe, he clothed himself as a servant of God, got on his knees, washed their feet. But Peter says, oh, stop the boat, Jesus, you're not going to touch my feet. And God rebukes him right there. He says, listen, if I don't do this, you will not have part of me. Guys, our human mind freaks out when it comes to serving and putting others first, because our sinful nature is so drenched in selfishness. God needs to deliver us. And as the church, God, we honor others by serving, by putting others above ourselves. Amen? Put them first on purpose. It's not going to come with a magic wand. You determine it, you decide upon it, and you do it. Amen? That's becoming a servant of God. He laid down his life, Jesus. He laid down his own life and his interest, and he did what was best for our interest and for our lives. He became our servant. You say, and I said it earlier, in the same way we are called to put others first by serving them. And it's like I said earlier with my friend. He served me and it freaked me out. Even though I was many, many years his junior. It was just, God, my mind is blowing now. It's like the steam is pumping here because, you know, I'm supposed to honor him. I'm younger. But Jesus comes and says, listen here, I'm secure in Christ. I just want to value you because God loves you. I see you made in the image of God. And through this, I will worship my God. Amen. There wasn't this thing of age and younger and old. It was just a principle he followed by honoring God. It changed my life forever. And the amazing thing is, guys, coming to becoming a servant, Jesus says in Matthew 25, he says there at the end, he says, whenever you do it to one of my least of my disciples, you do it to me. So guys, don't think that serving each other is a random thing out there. When we do it to one another as brothers, we do it unto Jesus himself. And that serving is worship and honor unto God. Amen? So let's make it our aim to honor each other, and by that we will honor our God. Amen? You're doing it unto Him himself. That is so precious to me. That has become so real to me. And the second reason why how we honor people is by Philippians 2:3. Look the following. It says, do not do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider each other better than yourselves. Guys, we honor people by becoming humble through humility. Now, we've heard this 1,000 times, I know. But again, I want to ask us, isn't that what Christ did for us? If you read on in that scriptures, verses 8 and 9, it says, Jesus came, he humbled himself to the point of death. And through that, God honored him by giving him a name above every other name. Guys, it's a principle in scripture. Proverbs, Proverbs 14, I think, says, humility comes before honor. It's so beautiful. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Amen. I like the NIV of the Romans 10 scripture. It reads as follows. It says, honor one another above yourselves. It gives you the picture of putting others first. It's putting somebody above yourself. The question obviously beckons, how do we do it? And the answer is through humility. Through humility, we put others above ourselves. Because, guys, humility, and listen to this, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but rather is esteeming or overvaluing others above yourself. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking more of others and their interests and what is good for them. And this gets so practical for me in marriage. It's so how God put it together that we can get these things. We live together, we rub off on each other, and we are there to see and to know each other and to see what is her interest. How does she like it? Why does she like it? So I'm going to conform and do it like she wants. You see, love is not love because I just do it. Love is love because I find out how she likes it. Then I'm communicating a love language. Then I'm serving her in a way that she feels loved. Amen? I've used this thing many times, but if my wife don't like flowers as a love language, and I bring her everyday flowers, I love you so much, Carmen, I love you so much. She will not register love in the way that she wants to be loved. Amen? But if her love language is touch, and physical touch and time, I need to say, okay, God, what is best for her interest is, I'm going to now humble myself and go for a masseuse course
and learn where the trigger points is, and you know, all that. Or I'm going to start an extra job for me and have some money to take her for lunch or dinner or coffee. Quality time. That is humbling yourselves. Communicating the love of somebody else. And through that, you will honor her. She will feel loved, and that will please and honor God. Amen? That is so powerful. Amen? And guys, that's why humility is the ideal position of truly honoring each other. Because honor is humility in action. It's humility in action. That is what honor is. And to end off, I just want to... This is the second part of the scripture I like in the ESV. It says there, outdo one another in showing love. It just puts a different angle on this, which I quite like. It brings out a different picture of me. And outdo means the following. It means to do it with eagerness, to take the lead, to not hold back. And this comes for us as offensive. It's like, God, but now, what are you saying? And guys, it's exactly here where our honor is to be different than the world. The world is on a system of merit. You're good, so you get rewarded and you get honored for that. We, on the other hand, I said that, is not on that. This is where our honor is to be different. And as Christians, we ought to honor another one by putting value on them and serving them through humility and receiving them through humility. And by doing that, we honor God. Amen? And this outdo also means and has a sense of competition with it. You know, if you think of the word outdo, there's like a sense of healthy competition, which I like. You know, and in the Christian context, it means that we take immediate action to make sure that others receive preferential treatment before we do. You make sure that you are not honored, but other people are honored. So when you walk into a room or a board meeting or somewhere in your office, you make sure that you take the lead in honoring. You outdo them. You are eager in your attitude because honor is finishing of the heart. You're looking for opportunities to honor other people. Because honor, guys, does not mean we sit back and wait and honor that other people honor us first. Amen? I was raised like that. You first need to prove me that you love me and prove that you actually care for me. Then I will honor you. But that's what the Bible says about parents and kids. They say this, honor your parents. Huh? Amen? There's no reason for that. It gives it a massive promise that you'll have a long life and all this and that. But it doesn't explain why and all that. I'm giving you the why tonight. Honor them. Honor them. It is good for you to honor them. Because we need to outdo one another with it. We need to take the lead with this. That's why as Christians we are different than the world. We're looking for opportunities to outdo one another. And that's exactly what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He took the lead by serving his own disciples. He took the lead. He was eager to show them the example of servanthood. And he said they go and do this for one another. And in that, you will be blessed. So we are supposed, guys, to take the lead because our honor is not based on merit, but it's based on the love of God. Amen? It's based on the love of God. And especially, like I said, in our marriages, husbands, you are the head. Take the lead. Honor your wife first. Wives, honor your husbands first. Let that be the healthy competition you actually want in your marriage. Amen? Do you guys see that? It's like this thing, no, I want. That's God glorifying. Looking for peripheral treatment for others. Before the honor, let's outdo one another with honor. Amen? And especially with our leaders or our relationship, like I said, in church. Let's not wait for our leaders to first be good to us and then we will honor. No, the Bible says honor your leaders. Because you value them, because they're made in the image of Christ, value them for who they are as a person. Amen? And then your reward will come. Then your reward will come. Amen? And obviously, guys, for me, the test of honor is exactly at this point with people above us. The test will come of honor towards them. Amen? And you see, honoring is not about we agreeing on the same things. Honoring is, it's just we value them. That's what is so amazing. And then to end off, I just want to conclude with this last beautiful scripture from David. Because guys, David for me was the ultimate guy. He understood the honoring thing. You know, twice in his lifetime he had opportunities to kill the king that pursued him and that believed lies about him to kill him. In the grave, in a cave, he had the opportunity to kill him. And he said, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. Again, later on, you know, the whole camp with the Philistines fell asleep. Him and his servant crept up in the arm, and his first servant listening. God has caused them all to sleep. You are not ready to just go and kill him. And David had a massive internal issue here. Is it God? Is it not God? And he withstood. David knew what honoring was all about. Amen? So let's read the scripture from that background. It says that, I often think of the heavens your hands have made, and of the moon and stars you put in place. Then I ask, why do you care about us humans? Why are you concerned for us weaklings? You made us little lower than yourself, and you have crowned us with glory and honor. We can even say, but yet you have crowned us with glory and honor. And church, my last prayer for us tonight is, I want this truth to be rooted in us. So this truth can set us free, that you are loved and accepted and valued by your Heavenly Father, Genevieve. And I want you guys to hear His voice in your ears saying that you are precious and honored in my sight. I've crowned you with glory and honor. Isn't that amazing? That the God we serve, the Honorable King, says that about us, feels that about you and me. How can we not but honor Him back by honoring each other? Amen? Isn't that amazing? So guys, I want to challenge you. Become a person of value. Become the person of value that receives God's affirmation tonight, that you are valuable in His sight. You are precious in His sight because of Christ Himself. And therefore, go out now and go and treat others as valuable. Amen? Go out now and treat others as valuable and honoring them through that. Let's just pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for your amazing word, Lord. And every time, God, we sit under the authority of your God, we are changed, Lord. We are dumbstruck by how awesome you are. And tonight, Father, I want to just bring every precious person that you have brought here tonight, Lord, by your divine hand. I want to just bring them before you. And Father, I want to commit them into your care, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you are at this very moment celebrating them. This very moment, God, you are spinning over them with joy and with rejoicing, and you are singing over them with love. You're quieting them with love, as Zechariah says, Lord. And God, I pray that you will open our spiritual ears, God, to come to the new revelation and insight, God, about how you see us, so we can view others the way you see them. And God, as a church tonight, God, we repent of offending each other. We repent, God, of being so spiritual, God, that we will be willing to write off each other and just disregard one another and just make our brothers feel invaluable, Lord. Tonight, God, we lay that down and we say, God, our new attitude will be that we want to outdo one another with honor. And we acknowledge that tonight, God, we can't do it on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. This you must come and do in us. Come and we open our hearts. We give you our hearts now to come and transform us from the inside out, Lord. So that we can walk around as living testimonies of this in our communities, at our jobs, in our families. Father, I bring marriages to you tonight, Lord. God, in my heart, I just sense in God, many marriages, God, is like almost on the verge of just going into the way of ordinary. We just live together because it's comfortable, God. And you want us to have glorious marriages, Father. And God, I bring us as men before you, God, and you've made us the head of the homes. And God, I pray that you will convict us, Lord, of our selfishness and how we just want to always be right and fight for that and just make the rest to submit, God. And we pray that you will help us to become servants of our families, God, to honor them, God, and to value them, God, through what we say about them and how we treat them like you treated us, God. We are so unworthy of your mercy, but we thank you tonight that you, in your great love, made room for us in your heart. That you crossed the great divide by the arms of Christ and the sacrifice of the cross. And you say, God, no more will I judge them, but I will love them. And we thank you for the cross. God, and because of your death, we can be alive. And we can say we are alive together with you. And that we are dead to sin, God. So, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to come and celebrate every person in this place. And declare over them, God, that you have crowned them with glory and with honor. God, you have crowned us with glory and with honor. And we are so
thankful for that tonight. And Lord Jesus, I ask now, as you showed me this morning, Lord, I ask that you will, through your Spirit, bring that Holocaust roller right now. And that you will roll it over our hardened hearts, God. Over our insensitive hearts, God. Over our prideful hearts, God. That you will roll it over us and that you will come and put in those holes, God, so we can just break before you again. Be soft in you again. God, I pray that you will take out the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh again, God. Your heart of honor, your heart of love, your heart of respect and just compassion again, Father God. In Jesus' name. Church, I want to make a different altar call. I want all the eyes closed. I want you to turn to your friend, turn to your brother. If you're on your own, go to somebody. I want you to pray about this right now. I want you to forgive people that have disregarded you. I want you, if you're the person that was rude to somebody, that you now confess that before God. But pray now. I want you to pray with one another. Serve one another in the Spirit. And let's pray one another. And I will end for us in prayer. But let's respond to this. I think it's a beautiful need. And if there's anybody that has any other needs, I want you to come to the front of the inner. Me and some of the leaders here will pray with you. So let's just turn. Let's give God a moment. If you want to cry, you cry. If you want to just sit, you sit. But let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's open our hearts and say, God, we really need you in this area. Amen. Let's do that for a few moments, then we can continue. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your gentleness in this place, Lord. We just acknowledge that your hand is at work in this place. And if you want to pray, continue to pray. I'm just going to pray for us. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your gentleness in this place, Lord. And that you're coming in tonight, Lord, like a specialist, Lord God. A special surgeon, Lord God. And you just come and open our hearts in specific places where you want us to respond. And where you want us to receive healing, and Lord. And so we just offer you our hearts, Lord. And we lay down, God, the ways we have been trained by our cultures and our families, God. And we say, God, we receive your way of honor. We want to learn from you, Jesus. And we want to thank you for everything you've done for us. And church, I just want to thank you tonight for coming out. I want you to have a great week. May God bless you in this week. May you really go on. And my challenge is really go on and go and outdo one another with honor. Go and really value others. Make them feel important, weighty, as the Old Testament says. Do specific things for them. And I just want to be obedient. I believe there's a lady here or ladies here that has suffered abuse in their childhood. And it's very difficult for you to grasp this because of the situation you went through. The details I'm lacking at the moment, but if you, like me, if you had any traumatic things in regard with this, especially with your parents or at school with teachers, you know, I believe the moment is now that God wants to just to deliver you and heal you. Because this word is specifically for you. That God wants you to walk in an honorable way, but Satan came to steal from you. And God wants to touch you tonight and later. So if that's you, if we all, after we've prayed, if you leave, you're more than welcome to come and pray with me. If there's any other needs, guys, if there's sick people here, we want to pray for you. If there's somebody with an injury, maybe I feel there's somebody with an injury here, ankle and knee, we want to lay hands on you and trust God for restoration of that injury quickly. Amen. So if that's you, maybe come to the front. We love you. I want to bless you with the peace of the Lord. And may the joy of the Lord be our strength in this week. Amen. God loves you. God celebrates you. And He's proud of you. Amen. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the wonderful. Continue praying, and please come to the front. We want more ministry. Amen. God bless you.